have a word of prayer together. Our Father, this morning, that is our motivation, is that you would be lifted high, that in everything we say and in everything we do and in everything we are, that, Lord, we would give honor and glory to you. And I pray that this morning, Lord, in this service, that what is said will bring glory to you. What is done in our hearts will bring glory to you. And that this Christmas, through our lives, Lord, our friends, our family, our colleagues, may, Lord, see you lifted high through our lives. I commit this time to you, our Father, in the name of Jesus, for your glory. Amen. Thank you. You can take your seats. Thank you. And good morning, Praise Center. Oh, we really have to work on this. Okay. Good morning. Thank you. Great to be back here again. I love coming to this church. And a very happy Christmas to you from my family to yours as well. I hope you've had time to buy all your gifts and get all of that stuff done. How many of you are totally prepared for Christmas? You've bought everything. You've got all your presents. Anybody? Nobody is ready for Christmas. Wow, maybe we should just close the meeting and all go to Chadston and buy our presents right now. And I sincerely hope that you have a great Christmas as well. All right, I'm going to come right to the message this morning. If you'd like to just bring the first point up and I'll take it from there. I've got a message on my heart that I've had on my heart for a couple of weeks. This is my last message for the year, and my hope and prayer would be that it would impact you and touch you. This message today may only be for one person. And if the Holy Spirit puts this message upon my heart for just one person, it's worth it because God cares about the one. But I suspect that this will have relevance to more than one person here today as well. Now, also in this message, when it first starts off, you think, oh, it's a little bit heavy, but it's not heavy at all. I'll just be telling the story, but then it begins to change gears and change direction, and you'll find it'll be really meaningful and very encouraging to you as well. So in the first couple of minutes, if you think, whoa, I don't know where this is going, don't worry, it gets better. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to be talking to you about one of the Old Testament prophets, a man called Jonah. And most of us know the story from Sunday school about Jonah and the whale. But you may have heard about a little girl who was at school, and her teacher was teaching about large sea mammals. And she burst out and said, oh, you mean like Jonah and the whale? And the teacher sarcastically said, well, it's impossible for a whale to be able to swallow a man. There are acids inside of the whale's stomach that would kill the man long before he asphyxiated. And unperturbed, the little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. And the teacher sarcastically said, well, what if Jonah went to hell? And the little girl said, well, then you can ask him. So I think for all of us today, we start off every new year with a sense of expectation and anticipation and aspiration that this year is going to be better than the previous year. We all have a great sense of excitement. But I want to ask you today, as you look back upon 2018, have you done what God put in your heart to do? Have you dealt with what God put in your heart to deal with inside of your life? Are you in the place where you felt you should be in God at the end of the year? And if the answer is no to any one of those questions, the title of my message says it all today, and that is this: it is not too late. And that's what today is all about, to say to you at the end of this year, as we prepare for the new year to come, it is not too late. So we're going to have a look at this message today and have a look at some things that Jonah did. I'll tell the story, and then we'll begin to apply that story to our heart to see what we can learn from this amazing story. First of all, just a few details about the book of Jonah. Jonah's name means dove, and he was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. And apart from his book, there's only one reference to Jonah in the entire Old Testament. And that is found in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse number 25, where he prophesied to Jeroboam II about the expansion of the borders of Israel. But he was the only Israelite prophet that was sent to a foreign country. And in his book, It's the only prophetic book where the messenger is more important than the message itself. In fact, his prophecy is only one short sentence. Even though it's a prophetic book, his prophecy is only one sentence and is found in chapter 3, verse number 4, and that is this: 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. So out of this book, there's only actually one prophecy: 40 more days and Nineveh will burn. In verse number 1 of Jonah 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." So God gave Jonah a very clear word to go to Nineveh and to preach against it because its wickedness had become a stench before God. Now at the time, Nineveh was the largest city in the Assyrian Empire. It was located on the east bank of the Tigris River. And according to God's own words in chapter 4, it had a population of 120,000 people. Here is a rendition of what an artist believes that Nineveh would have looked like in its heyday. Just a few years ago, this is what Nineveh looked like. But what a lot of people don't realize is that Nineveh is the modern Iraqi city of Mosul. And you may remember that Islamic State invaded and brutalized that town for many years and slaughtered thousands of people. Ancient Nineveh is right in the middle of the modern Iraqi city of Mosul. And this is where we come to the actions of Jonah. So God has clearly told him, go to that city and preach against it and tell it the judgment is on the way. But according to chapter 1, verse number 3, it tells us, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. Now, why did he do that? Why would a person deliberately, intentionally run away from what God put in his heart to do? We find out in chapter 4. Jonah knew that the Lord was gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. And Jonah knew that if the people of Nineveh repented of their wickedness, then God would relent from calamity in forgiveness and mercy. Jonah wanted destruction and annihilation. He did not want redemption and salvation. He didn't want God to forgive. He wanted punishment and retribution upon that foreign city. And the reason was because he wanted to be authenticated as a prophet. He didn't care about the people. He just wanted his word to come to pass. And that's why he ran away from God. So instead of going to Nineveh to preach against this wickedness, he went to the port city of Joppa and boarded a ship heading in a completely different direction. He intended to run away from God to Tarshish, which is located up the coast in what is now called Lebanon. But in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 1, while they're in the boat, the Lord sent a hurricane force wind, a violent, life-threatening storm. And the crew, fearing for their lives, began to throw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. Meanwhile, Jonah is downstairs, below deck, semi-comatose, in a deep sleep, oblivious to the impending disaster. And the captain goes down there and wakes him up and asks him how he could possibly sleep. And he urged Jonah to call upon the name of his God in case his God was able to help. Then the superstitious sailors decided to cast lots to find out whose fault this great storm was. They assumed that one of them had offended his deity, and so they wanted to identify who the perpetrator was, and the lots fell to Jonah. And with the intensity of an interrogation, the sailors asked him, "What have you done? Where are you from?" And Jonah told them exactly what had transpired. And as Jonah began to tell his story, the sea got rougher and rougher. So in desperation, the sailors call out, "What should we do to make the seas calm down for us?" And Jonah instructed them to throw him overboard. Now, naturally, like me, I wouldn't want to throw a man overboard. They were unwilling to do that. But as they were talking with him, the sea got even rougher and rougher. And reluctantly, they pled their innocence and they threw Jonah over the edge of the boat into the water. And I want to just draw some lessons from what we can learn from Jonah to this point we can apply to our lives. The first point is this. It is impossible to truly run away from God. It is impossible to truly run away from God. You may have heard that saying by some famous boxer that said, "You can run, but you can't hide." Nevertheless, in verse 3, it says, Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish. And sometimes, like Jonah, we may run, but we can never escape from the Lord. We may block our ears, but the Lord keeps on speaking. We may close our eyes, but the Lord will keep revealing himself. We may substitute his call with something else, but will never truly be satisfied. And that reminds me of the words of David in my favorite psalm, Psalm 139, where David said, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths, you are there. If I go to the dawn, you are there. If I go to the far side of the sea, you are there. And even in darkness, you are there." And in Scripture, we see many people who ran away from God. God found Moses on the far side of a desert. God found Elijah hiding under a broom tree. God found Saul behind a load of bags. And sometimes, knowingly or unknowingly, we can do exactly the same thing. We can run from what we know God has put in our heart to do. Sometimes it's intentional because there's a reluctance and a resistance in our heart to do what God has put in our heart. But many times it's because we just drift and we just move along and we haven't given intentionality to what God put in our heart to do. I remember when my children were very small. I mean, they're now in their 20s and 30s. But when my two oldest kids were about 3 and 4 years old, we were playing hide and seek. And so I said, "Okay, I will count to 10 and you go and hide and then I'll come and find you." And so I blocked my eyes and in a very loud, ferocious voice, I began to count down, 10, 9, and I could hear them squeal, and I heard them running up the corridor, and I heard them go into our bedroom. And so I got right down, 3, 2, 1, and I go, "I'm coming," and I could hear them squealing. So then I went down the corridor, and I just pounded my feet, you know, here I come. And I walked into our bedroom, and there they are, lying on my bed with their heads under the pillows, but their bodies in full view. They thought that because they couldn't see me, that I couldn't see them. And so I walked up to them and I just went, "Wah!" I grabbed their legs and they screamed. But that, well, you know, that story reminds me of what a lot of people do with God as well. We think, well, as long as I just keep my ears shut and don't really listen to the sermon, or as long as I don't read the Bible, then, you know, God can't see me. It's just like my children. We think that just because we think we can't see him, that he can't see us. But that we cannot truly hide from the Lord. And I want to encourage you today, if you have drifted, if you're not where you should be today, learn the lessons from Jonah that we can never truly run away from the Lord. A second thing we've seen so far is this, is that disobedience to God creates turmoil in our life. Disobedience to God creates turmoil in our life. Verse 4 of chapter 1 reads, "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up." Jonah brought problems upon himself because he was disobedient to what he knew God was asking him to do. And when we run away from God, it brings us to a very lonely and isolated place. We may fill our lives with activities and substitutes, but ultimately we will have an internal emptiness and turmoil that begins to corrode our soul. And have a listen to just a few examples in Scripture of people who did the opposite of what God told them to do. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit and were banished from the Garden of Eden and brought unfathomable suffering on the world through their sin. Lot's wife looked back at the burning sulfur raining down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, even though she was told explicitly not to, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Aaron's son, Aaron the priest's son, Nadab and Abihu offered unauthorized fire contrary to God's command, and they're incinerated as fire burst out from the Lord's presence. Moses struck the rock twice in anger when the Lord had clearly told him to speak to the rock, and even though water gushed out to refresh the people, he was forbidden to go into the promised land. Achan kept some of the spoils of Jericho, though the Lord had instructed the people that the valuable things were to go into the treasury for the future. And as a consequence, the whole army was defeated at Ai, and the whole community were held back. It was only when Ai was stoned and burned that the whole Israelites were able to move forward. Or think about Saul, who didn't destroy the Amalekites as God had clearly told him. His disobedience was the final straw, and he forfeited the throne that was given to him, and his dynasty would end when he would die. Jonah is not the only person who has ever run away from the Lord. I just have this sense that there are people here today who are running away from God. You know what is right, but you don't do the right thing. God has clearly spoken to you, but you haven't been obedient with what God has put in your heart to do. Perhaps God has told you to rid things out of your life, but you haven't done that. You keep harboring those things. Or maybe God is calling you, but you're running from your call. Or maybe, like Jonah, you have received clear prophetic messages, or you have a God-given dream or desire or gift, but you're running away from the responsibility of what God has put in your heart to do. And the inevitable, inescapable consequence will be turmoil in our lives like a raging storm. It may be on the inside, but it is nevertheless a storm. But we just have this feeling that we are dissatisfied and empty and barren and swallowed and frustrated. We need to honestly ask ourselves today, am I in the place that God wants me to be in? Am I doing what God put into my heart to do? Or maybe you're asking the question today, is there any way back? Is there any way out of the circumstance that I am in? Have I forfeited what God has given to me and put in my heart to do? Back to the story of Jonah. So the sailors have just thrown him overboard, and immediately the raging seas have calmed, and the sailors were just filled with awe, because so they started to make sacrifices to the God of Jonah. But verse number 17 of that chapter, of chapter 1, this is not working for me. There we go. Oh, there's a big fish. He's gone. There he is. Okay. Verse 17 says, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. And this is where the whole message changes. A third thing we see from this man Jonah that we can apply to our lives is this, that there is no limit to what God can do and will do to restore someone's life. There is no limit to what God can do and will do to restore someone's life. So Jonah has run from God. The men had thrown him overboard. He thought to himself, that's it, I may as well die because I've run away from God. But the amazing thing was that God provided a great fish, that there is no limit to what God can do and will do to restore someone's life. Chapter 2 of Jonah begins with Jonah inside the fish. And he's praying with a deep sense of repentance. He's calling out to the Lord from the depth of his predicament. He takes responsibility for what he's done. He understands that that he's disobeyed God, and he remembers that he once used to be in God's house. He knows where his hope is coming from. He knows that only the Lord can deliver him from his watery dungeon. Have a listen to a few words of his prayer. Verse 2, I call for help, and you listen to my cry, and I will look to you again in your holy temple. Verse 6 says, but you brought my life from the pit. You know, in the Hebrew, that word translated pit is the word Sheol or Hades. I actually believe that Jonah died, and he was calling out to God from the place where he had died. He was calling out for him. For he speaks about how I called out to you from the foundations of the mountains of the sea. I actually think he died. And in verse 7 it says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you in your holy temple. Verse 9, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. Salvation comes from the Lord. And what we learn and we can apply from this is this. If we have drifted from where God wants us to be, if we have disobeyed him, if we're not where we should be in him, then we need to, like Jonah, repent. Which is another way of saying turning back, cry out to God that God would restore your life. And graciously, God heard his prayer. In chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. God delivered Jonah from the mess that he had brought upon himself. And let me say very loudly here today that if God can make a fish vomit Jonah and put him in the right place to restore him back to the right path, then God is able to deliver you from every self-inflicted problem, even though it has been caused by your own disobedience. Our God is a good God, and he's able to put us right back on the right path. For example, we have the story of the parable of the lost sheep. And Jesus spoke about that, how that the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one that was lost and has wandered. And by the way, if you've wandered away, he's looking for you. He's calling out for you. He is opening up his arms to you that you would come home to him to today. There's also the parable of the lost son. The prodigal son left his father, indulged himself, lost everything until he came to his senses, eating the pods that were given to pigs. And the most amazing part of that story was that the father was waiting, was watching, and was welcoming. And the father said to the elder son who'd stayed at home, we need to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. In fact, in Matthew 18, verse 13, it says, the shepherd is more excited about the one that has been restored than the 99 who didn't wander away in the first place. But the greatest example of God doing everything to bring people back to himself is the cross of Jesus. The Bible tells us that we were separated from God, that we were darkened in our understanding, that we were lost, that we were destined for hell. But Jesus came, sent by his Father. And after Jesus had transformed Zacchaeus' life, he said in Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. And all of this was initiated by God's love. God's love sent his Son. In love, Jesus came. He made a way where there was no way. He provides faith and grace that we can be saved. He restored our life. And maybe today you feel so far from God. And as I mentioned, this message may only be for one person today. And if it's for one person, that is the heart of God. But I suspect there are many others as well. You may feel today so far from God, so far from what you should be or could be, and you know that you're in the position you're in by your own choices. And if so, there's some amazing verses in Isaiah 54. And in Isaiah 54, the people of Judah were in exile in Babylon. And they felt rejected by God. They felt that they had forsaken him. They had turned their backs upon him. And they turned their backs upon his ways. But the Lord spoke very, very graciously to them. And the Lord said, "Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you." And the Lord declared to his barren and defeated people that the days of their shame were over, that the record was going to be expunged, that they would no longer live with the constant condemning memory of their past sins and failures. Why? Because their Maker, the Lord Almighty, and their Redeemer, the Holy One, did indeed briefly abandon them out of his wounded, grieving heart. But now things were going to be different. In comparison to the moment of rejection, God would embrace them with everlasting kindness and would bring his people back into full relationship. Judah did not need to fear rejection because the Lord was going to wipe out every record of their past. And when we parallel that to our lives, we do not need to fear today that we are orphaned by God because of our past or present sins and failures. Why? There's a number of verses that tell us. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "The old has gone and the new has come." 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So through Jesus' work on the cross, we have been pardoned, exonerated, imputed with righteousness, justified, forgiven, and delivered from the kingdom of darkness. As David once powerfully proclaimed in Psalm 103, it says, "God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." Our sins are forgiven. And when they are forgiven by God, they can never be used against us again. They are gone. The devil may remind us of them, but we must not allow ourselves to be condemned because we are free from their penalty and power. There may be a few consequences that we have to work through as a result of our past, but God can give us grace and power by his Spirit to break free from them. We are not defined by our past, but we are defined by our future in Christ Jesus. And our past is what the word itself says. It is our past. And despite Jonah turning his back upon God and running from God and being prepared to die to escape God, God, in his mercy, sent that fish. He probably died. He called out to God. God heard his cry, and God caused that fish to deposit him on a beach to get him back onto the right path. There is no limit to what God can do and will do to restore our lives. And so today, if you feel like you've gone backwards this year rather than forwards, if you feel like you've drifted so far from where God had you, if you feel today that you've been rebellious and you've disobeyed God, today ask him, call upon him that he would restore your life. And the reason is because it's not too late. It is not too late. And the final thing is this. We left Jonah lying on the beach, and that leads me to my fourth and final point, and that is this. This is a great point. The failure does not disqualify a person from God's purposes. Failure does not disqualify a person from God's purposes. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Verse 3, Jonah obeyed the Lord, the word of the Lord, and went to Nineveh. God is the God of the second chance. God is the God of the third chance. God is merciful and does not treat us as our sins deserve. And if we will turn back to Him, or in the words of Scripture, repent, He will restore us. Jesus restored Peter after he betrayed Jesus and denied Jesus, and Peter became instrumental at Pentecost and the first apostle to the Gentiles. God specializes in taking the fragmented, broken pieces of lives and restoring them and then shining His glory through them. And you may feel like you're a vase that has been smashed on the ground into a thousand pieces. Our God specializes in taking broken, fragmented lives and putting them back together again, restoring them for His glory so that He may shine out of their lives. Failure does not disqualify us from doing what God has put inside of our heart to do. Therefore, don't reject yourself because God has not rejected you. Please do not disqualify yourself because God has not disqualified you. It is not too late. Our God is the God of the second chance. And astonishingly, Jesus referred to Jonah in the big fish and his restoration. And the context is that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were asking for a miraculous sign. And Jesus said that the only sign that would be given to them would be the sign of Jonah. In Matthew 12, verse number 40, Jesus said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And then in verse number 41, it says, "And the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one is greater than Jonah is here." And this shows us the restoration of God in Jonah's life. 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, probably dead. In my view, he was dead. But God heard his prayer and restored him and fulfilled God's purpose through him in Nineveh. An amazing work of God. And Jonah's ordeal in the fish was a foreshadow of Jesus' death and resurrection. And as Jonah was delivered from death and restored to life, so Jesus would die and be buried for 3.5 days, then raised to life to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. The resurrection of Jesus is the greatest sign of who He was. Maybe you've had people ask you, as I've had people ask me, "Prove to me that Jesus is who He says He is. Show me a miracle, show me a sign, and I'll believe in the power of God." You just need to refer them here. Jesus, His suffering, His death, His resurrection is the greatest sign of who He really is. We do not serve a God that is decomposing in some tomb in another part of the world. We serve the living God, whose Son Jesus is alive, and Jesus is life, and Jesus is the life giver. He is the whole message that our world needs to hear today. Jesus is the life giver. Jonah had run away from God. He got into turmoil, but then he repented and he looked in hope to his God. He was then restored to fulfill his divine purpose. He did what God put into his heart to do. So Jonah made his way to Nineveh and he began to preach that one sentence that God had given him to preach. 40 more days, then judgment is coming. But then from the king down, everyone repented. Disaster was averted. The whole nation or the whole city turned to the Lord. And in chapter 3, verse 10, it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. Astonishingly, 120,000 people turned to God as a result of a backslidden Christian coming and doing what God told him to do. What can the Lord do with our lives also? In applying this to us, we learn from some lessons from Jonah. And those lessons are, firstly, if you're not where you should be today at the end of the year, if as you look back on 2018, you realize you've drifted so far from where God wanted you, or maybe you've been disobedient to him, or maybe in your heart you've gone cold and hard, today, turn back to him. Turn back to him. Secondly, like Jonah, listen for his voice. Listen again for what he is speaking to you about. He will not reject you. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. He will not turn his back upon you. He is for you, and he is in you, and he wants to see you restored today. Listen for his call. But then thirdly, really importantly, we learn from Jonah that we need to obey him and do what God has put in our heart to do. And do not run away from the word of the Lord or what God puts in our heart to do. Why? Because it's not too late. It's not too late. And so we've learned today four points from Jonah that we can apply to our lives. Firstly, that it's impossible to truly run away from God. We can run, but we can't hide from him. Secondly, that if we do disobey him, we're going to create turmoil and problems inside of our life. Thirdly, we've seen that there is no limit to what God can do to get somebody back on track. And if God put this message upon my heart at the end of the year, just for you, that is the heart of God. He's looking for the one that has wandered away. And fourthly, may we be reminded today that failure does not disqualify us from the purposes of God. God always uses the underqualified, the least likely, the unlikely, and does extraordinary things through their life so that everyone can say, this must be God and glory to God, rather than exalt the person. So I want to encourage you today as I close to learn the lessons of Jonah, because it's not too late. Would you mind closing your eyes with me for a moment if we just have a sacred moment of applying this to our lives? Out of all that I've said today, what's the one thing that was the word of the Lord to you? The one thing that you need to apply from what I've been saying today, the one thing that really hit you in your heart today, I would love us just to take a couple of moments just to process that and to talk to the Lord about that, and then I'll pray over you today. Would you mind standing with me, please? Would you mind standing? Thank you. Just in reverence to God. We're in God's presence. His Holy Spirit is here. My voice will stop. His voice never stops. And he takes the feeble words of a preacher and he brings it home, brings it alive to us. What is God saying to you today? What do you need to do about what I've been preaching about today? Have you been like Jonah? Have you run the other way from what God has put in your heart to do? Have you drifted from where you should be in him? Please, please, take a couple of moments and turn back to this gracious, loving, welcoming, restoring God. Take a moment, please. picture for a moment. The prodigal son. His clothes are torn. He's unshaved. He smells because he's been sleeping with pigs. He's reluctantly going home, thinking that maybe his father will give him a job. And as he's heading home, in the distance, he sees his father. His father is running towards him. His father is welcoming him. His father wraps his arms around him, kisses him, because his son that had drifted had come home. And today, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is here with arms open wide by His Spirit, welcoming you just right to get right with Him, back with Him today. Would you just pray whatever prayers you need to pray? Just to realign yourself with where God wants you to be. Because God wants to use you as He used Jonah to impact the lives of people. Just take a moment, please. If there are some people who've come to our service today who've never given their life to Jesus, do not have a personal relationship with Him, and you know that you're a long, long way from God, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you will open up your heart to Him, turn to Him, ask Him to forgive you and cleanse you, wash you inside from all that you have done wrong by His standards, He will hear you, and Jesus will come in, forgive and cleanse your life, and you can know God in a personal way, have a relationship with Him through Jesus. If you don't know Him today, please in your heart ask Him, Jesus, I surrender to You, come into my life. And then when this service is over, tell a friend who brought you, I want to give my life to Jesus, and they will gladly talk with you and pray with you about what it means to know Jesus. So allow me to pray over you today at the end of this year, so that we can be in a completely different position as we start the new year in a few weeks' time. Would you mind just raising your hands? If you're comfortable doing that, just raise your hands. Our Father, our loving Father, our gracious Father, we are in Your presence. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace shown to us in Christ Jesus, shown to us day after day. I pray that, Lord, Your Spirit would probe our hearts today. Show us any area in which we've been like Jonah, that we've blocked our ears and drifted and wandered or run. And Lord, today I pray that You would restore people and bring them back to that place where they should be in You. And I pray that 2019 will be a year like Jonah of going to Nineveh, of seeing fruitfulness and breakthrough in our life. We thank You that, Lord, You don't disqualify us. You don't discard us. But, the Lord, You restore us. And I pray that You would restore people today at the end of this year in a powerful and mighty way. So, Lord, I pray blessing over this church, all those who are hearing my voice today, Lord, that they would be restored in You. I pray for Pastor Agus and the family, Lord, to have an incredible time away at the conference and on their holiday, that You would refresh them and renew them, that they would come back, Lord, with such sharp vision for 2019, that they would know that the Lord has spoken. I pray that, Lord, that You would do something amazing. I thank You, Father. You're a miracle-working, great God. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful?
for the words of God. Maybe 2018 we've faced a lot of challenges, problems, disruption in our life. And maybe that's because of our disobedience with our Lord. Maybe He spoke to you. You know what God wants in your life, but you chose not to, or we chose not to listen to Him. Well, it's not too late. It's never too late. God sent the big whale to get Jonah back on track. God sent Jesus Christ for us because He loved us so much. He would leave the 99 to get one. Let's come to the Lord more devoted, more committed, more obey to our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2019 will be a more fruitful life. You can share. There will be more testimony in your life because the Lord is with you and always with you. It's never too late to change. Let's pray and lift up your hands, church. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the words today. We want to be more committed to you. Listen to your words and come to you. And it's not too late. It's never too late to come to you. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for everything. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord protect you. May the Lord give you His grace, give you His favor and peace into your life. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, Amen. Have a blessed Sunday, church. Have a good holiday if you're going. Otherwise, I'll see you tomorrow on Monday night prayer and on next week, Sunday. Thank you. God bless.